with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside of the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard, a VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick and also a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. Pritch, yep. How are we doing, man? Black Friday, here we are. Yeah, hanging out here.
Yeah, I had to represent Black Friday with all black.
Say,
yeah,
look at
absolutely.
You.
I got started with Black Friday on Wednesday, though.
Yeah,
it's been a great year, so getting started early. But glad to be here with you. Looking forward to going over some games and some news and notes from the National Football League. Get everybody ready for Sunday.
NFL is always keeping us rolling. We got an NFL game today, by the way. Yep. We usually don't have a game that we could preview on Friday with our football show here, but we have a Black Friday game with the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets right now. That line is sitting at 9.5, but we do have a couple of a fun show that we have on deck over the next 2 hours. Andy Vasquez will be joining us 15 minutes from now. New York Jets beat reporter for NJ.com. He is boots on the ground in the stadium. We'll talk to Andy Vasquez about that game a little bit later on in 15 minutes. But we have to start, though, Pritch, with what we saw yesterday on Thanksgiving. Turkey Day, as always. And the Dallas Cowboys showed up and showed out on Turkey Day. They beat the Washington Commanders. Unfortunately for me, I had Washington plus 13.5 through three quarters. I was like, maybe we can get there.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter happens, and it was a doomsday, as the Cowboys like to say there. 25 points in the fourth quarter. They win the game 45-10.
Yep.
Washington, since then, has now fired their defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio, and also their DB's coach as well. But when you watched yesterday's game, probably had to happen.
Yeah, it had to happen. Ding dong, the Wicked Witch is gone. Del Rio. Again, I make no qualms about this. I mean, I never respected the guy. Here's the thing about Del Rio. It was everybody else's fault except his for a long time. And it's cost Rivera. I think it's going to cost him his job.
Yeah.
And you had the new ownership come out with some strong words. Nikki Javala did a great job with capturing some quotes and certainly following some stories there going on with Washington and that football team. But internally, it was a mess. It has been a mess. And we know the scandals and everything like that with Snyder before. But you're going to tell me the defensive line coach gets fired a couple years ago. Okay, other people get fired. And then you trade away your best players, but yet there's no accountability for the defense coordinator. And one thing I can say for a fact in a locker room is respect is everything. Trust is everything more than that. But certainly you got to have that respect. And when you don't have a defense coordinator standing up and saying, okay, this is my fault, or accepting accountability, then there's zero respect. You got to tell me all those first rounders on that side of the ball, it's their fault, except the coordinator. But they needed to get rid of Del Rio. We'll see what happens with that football team on the other side. And reluctant to take the Washington Commanders, even though, you know, I like what they're doing on one side of the ball. But on the other side of the ball, it can't just back Washington against a high powered team. Dallas was averaging 42 points a game in the last three games. Now, again, it's a competition. I get that. But they are racking up points. Dak Prescott is playing stellar football. And remember, and you know this, Dak Prescott, his entire career has averaged double-digit wins each and every year.
Yeah, he's and won a lot of football
games. He's won a lot of football games. So I think Dallas is starting to feel comfortable with this offense, with McCarthy calling plays. And they seem to have found some youth on that roster, too, to help out with playmakers.
Yeah, everybody was on display. I mean, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks. I mean, Tony Pollard got busy as well. Rico Dowdle with the first touchdown score. Shout out to anybody who had Rico Dowdle first TD score yesterday there. But on the Commander side of it, like you mentioned, like Jack Del Rio obviously fired, but they put out a statement. Josh Harris was at the game yesterday.
Right.
He was in the suite. So like he sees it first, you know, like first person right there live in effect. And he put out a statement, said, "This morning I spoke with Coach Rivera and he recommended that the team make changes at defensive coordinator and defensive backs coach. I accepted those recommendations and want to thank Jack and Brent for their contributions to the Commanders. We wish them and their families well moving forward." I find it funny. That's I wish you well doing forward. Also, you're fired, by the way. Sure. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. But I mean, this is an organization where the Commanders, like defensively,
it
had been very, very bad.
Oh, it's
and
been
I
horrible.
Think it's like people could point to, they traded Montez Sweat. They traded Chase Young. But when they had those guys, it was still really bad. Mm-hmm. And like, they lost to the, like, they gave up points to Tommy DeVito, who has been horrendous in his starts there. Like, when they played Dallas, they looked like an FCS team playing an NFL team. And then they went ahead and gave up a 30 spot to Tommy DeVito, to where it's like they had to make a change here for the Commanders. I mean, I don't know what it means going forward for them in terms of their defense. Maybe it gets better. Maybe they get a little bit of a bump. But it really feels like we're headed towards Rivera gone at the end of the season, if not maybe even around Christmas time.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I mentioned before, in the locker room, if the defense coordinator, there's no accountability for him, okay, what am I doing here? You know, I think Jonathan Allen had some comments in regards to, it's about execution, it's about our performances, right? But yet you're not holding everybody accountable. You're separating people. But you're certainly holding the players accountable, because, you know, guys are getting traded away and certainly going to lose your job, and job security is in doubt. So you might get a bump of effort because now everybody else is on notice. Like, they're getting rid of players, and now they're getting rid of coaches, and we got a new ownership. So I better be on top of my game if I want to be here. So you might get a better effort from some guys and certain guys, but will it be a collective effort, right? Will it be a team effort? And so we'll see if Rivera can do that. If he can, then maybe it buys him more time. Yeah. But if he can't, then obviously the writing's on the wall out there in Washington.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of a wake-up call for these guys out there in our nation's capital. On the Dallas side of it, real quick here, like, obviously the schedule has lessened since they played the Eagles and the Niners and those teams here. They do face the Eagles in a couple weeks.
Right.
You said you're impressed with what you've seen from Dallas. Like, is this a team that you feel comfortable saying is a contending team, or is it just they're taking advantage of a bad schedule here?
Well, you know, I think I had Dallas going to a Super Bowl. I had the Jets too, but Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles, right?
Yeah, you get a mulligan on that one.
Okay. but no, Dallas, I think they've been a contender all year long. You know, it was top heavy in the NFC. We knew that with certainly the Eagles and San Francisco, now Dallas in the mix. So you could stretch it to four teams if you want to, but that kind of gets dicey. No, Dallas, I thought along the way, and especially in the offseason, right before the season, they had a chance to get D-Hop. And I mean, if they would have got DeAndre Hopkins to add to what's going on now with that offense, I mean, tell me who's going to stop them, right? But they didn't do it, even though they had the salary cap. So I said this to you. I'm like, they need one more playmaker. And, you know, Cooks is coming along. CeeDee Lamb is phenomenal. With Ferguson, the tight end, they're starting to find him. If they don't run the ball, they're okay, because Dak is starting to settle in with his offense. But here comes some youth on that roster that's creating opportunities and certainly settling down Dak as well. And I'll just lean on the fact that, you know, his entire career, he's been a double-digit winner at that quarterback position, and that got the high-powered offense. I think they've had the leading a scoring offense for, what, the last two, 3 years in the league. So they're on track to do that again, and they're revving up right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's back-to-back 12-1 seasons for the Cowboys. I mean, they haven't gotten it done in the playoffs, and particularly against the San Francisco 49ers, who blew them out like a couple months ago or so, week five in that game. So, like, that's going to be the ultimate test. But in terms of consistency, they've been great against the number.
Right.
They've been great in terms of, like, the win-loss record. And, hey, like, the McCarthy-Dak Cowboys have been really good, and they've been surpassing expectations, if you will, here.
Sure.
But you did mention, you said, it gets dicey as a fourth team.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that team that a lot of people thought was that fourth team was the Detroit Lions. They lay an egg yesterday. Yeah. Shout out to anybody who had them in Survivor. We apologize. Yeah. Unfortunately, a bad Thanksgiving for them. I mean, 58.1% of the remaining entries in Survivor were on the Detroit Lions. They lose to the Green Bay Packers as a touchdown plus favorite at home, 29-22. Packers now sneakily into the playoff mix here as a potential wildcard team. But on the Detroit side, 5.9 yards per play. The turnovers obviously were a big story with it. 0-for-5 on fourth down. It was just a disaster of a Thanksgiving, and it started right off the bat.
Yeah, Femi, coaching decisions too. I mean, you see really how Campbell gets emotional a little bit and maybe outthinks himself, right? You know, you don't want to take that away because he's been highly successful so far. But down the stretch, when this pressure is mounting, is he going to be able to handle it? Some of these coaching decisions. But now on the other side, Goff, a lot of things have been said about him and really resurrecting his career and doing a great job. And he has. But he's now timid, though, and holding the ball way too long, seeing wide open people in front of him, not throwing the ball, maybe looking for something else to develop. But yet, you know, against teams like Green Bay and teams that are familiar with you and certainly your tendencies, you can't do that. I think Goff needs to step up his game. I know Campbell came out and said, we got to get takeaways, which that's pressure on Aaron Glenn now.
Yeah.
Right? That's pressure on your DC, who's been more conservative and has been helpful, because last year he was attacking and it was, you know, teams were just scoring at will against that defense for Detroit. But getting takeaways is one thing, but giving the ball away is another. And you can't. And last week, what, they scored 31 points with four turnovers. And so on a short week, you can't do that again. So they are consistently turning the ball over with a timid quarterback, and that cost them in that game against Green Bay.
Yeah, three turnovers for the Detroit Lions in that game there. It was the exact number on Survivor, 216 entries were on the Detroit Lions. Of the 371, 216 were on the Lions. Right. So obviously those tickets ripped up there. The $9 million dream over for the folks that picked the Lions there. And I think defensively, I think it's interesting because Green Bay had 7 yards per play. Mm-hmm. And this is a Packers offense that has been kind of devoid of explosive plays. Like we've been talking about, like, where are the explosives? Where are the chunk plays? They weren't. There was a lot of screens, a lot of checkdowns. Yeah. The chunk plays were there yesterday.
Christian Watson.
First play of the game. Yeah. They say, here you go. Boom. Christian Watson, eye hole. Yeah. And then, like, Jordan Love looked really comfortable. He looked great yesterday.
He did.
To where, like, is this more of a Detroit defense thing, or the Packers, are they kind of onto something?
Yeah, he's still bad habits throwing off that back foot.
He loves doing that.
LaFleur's got to correct that.
He loves it.
Because it's going to cost him, though, right? You got this young player who's feeling himself, and he's has these continued bad habits, and he's got to get out that. But Christian Watson back on the field in the draft, you know, that guy that was going to sneak into that first round with that speed reminds you so much of Lofton, James Lofton, how he can get deep and how he can be explosive. So that's comfort to a young football team. And as a better, beware or be careful or know about these young teams that get better, because they take leaps forward as they get better collectively.
Yeah, it seems like a quantum leap for the Green Bay Packers over these past 5 days versus what it had been over the last 5 weeks. Andy Vasquez of NewJersey.com will join us next to break down the Dolphins and the Jets here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Betsgiving is back, and all of VSiN's hosts, writers, and analysts are competing in a week-long competition to see who is the best bettor at VSiN. Follow all the bets and leaderboard at VSiN.com, or go to the DK Sportsbook app, select social, then betting groups, where you'll be able to join our Betsgiving group to follow all the action. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe, Mike Pritchard hanging out here on a Black Friday, a football Friday. We got games going on in college. We have an NFL game that's about to go on in about 90 minutes or so right now in the Meadowlands. And that brings us to our guest today. Andy Vasquez covers the New York Jets for the Star Ledger and NewJersey.com. Andy, we appreciate the time as always. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. And we got to start with this quarterback situation with the New York Jets here with Tim Boyle now starting at quarterback instead of Zach Wilson. Do you expect to see some kind of emotional boost here for the Jets, or what should we expect to see with Tim Boyle, who doesn't have a decorated career, at least to put it lightly?
Oh yeah. I mean, for a team that has scored one touchdown in its last four games, it certainly is hard to imagine it hurting. And I think there will be a boost, and, you know, I think it'll help that he'll have a chance to prepare. You know, it is a short week, but, you know, he didn't have any preparation when he came in Buffalo, and it didn't go so great. But I think, you know, with his knowledge of the offense and them having time to game plan, and it has to be better than it's been, because they haven't had a real touchdown drive of longer than one play, or a touchdown drive without a fake punt, since October 1st. So it's got to be better than what it's been. And that would look like, you know, scoring points in the first quarter, or leading a normal touchdown drive that isn't a 1 yard, you know, long play from Breece Hall, or one that involves a fake punt. That has not happened. It's been really, really, really bad. It's hard to describe how bad the offense has been.
You know, Andy, it's interesting from a betting perspective, because I was at the game out here in Vegas with the Raiders, against the Raiders, and at times it felt like there was some juice, but then obviously it goes away, right? And it goes away in a big way. Not only the quarterback, but you know, both sides of the ball defensively too at times. And I was just wondering, this type of move, and I know, you know, Zach Wilson wasn't getting the job done, but can this provide that juice for the Jets in a divisional game against Miami, and a chance for them to get inside this big number as Miami's laying 9.5 of what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I mean, with the Jets defense, I wouldn't want any part of that number. I just think there's a chance that they can, they've shut down almost every good quarterback they've played this year. They've handled almost every big receiver they've played well. I think last week was an anomaly against the Bills just because with all the offensive struggles we've talked about, everyone in that building who's been watching the Jets knew pretty early in the game once they scored that touchdown, they weren't going to score another one. And I have a hard time for a defense that brought it every game this year, with a few exceptions of bad plays, have a hard time being critical or questioning them. It's understandable at a certain point. They are humans, and that game was lost in the first half. So the fact that Boyle is here, I think, you know, really does help mentally for the defense. At least if it doesn't help on offense, it's still those guys, you know, they have at least a reason to believe. I know it's sad and kind of pathetic, but that's what the Jets offense is right now. It's just, it's a mess. And so I do think it makes a difference, especially on defense. And it is something different for the offense too. And the offense's problem right now is they're pressing. They desperately want something to happen, and they're making mistakes instead, trying to make things happen, and it's compounding and it's ugly. So I think it does actually help. I don't know if it's going to lead to a bunch of points, but it, again, like I said, it can't hurt.
Yeah, the total right now is 40 and trending under. There's even some 39.5s out there in the market. We're speaking with Andy Vasquez, New York Jets reporter for the Star Ledger and NJ.com. Well, Andy, we've talked about the quarterbacks. What about the offensive line here for the New York Jets? It's been banged up throughout the season. They've lost a number of players, but they do get Dwayne Brown back off of the IR. He was activated yesterday here. Like, does that give this O-line a boost here? But there's still injuries on like that right side. And obviously, Mekhi Becton, he's inactive for this game here. Like, well, what's the status of the Jets O-line having to protect Tim Boyle?
Yeah, the O-line has been, you know, shuffling of backups, and backups getting injured and going to IR, starters getting injured going to IR. The question is if Mekhi Becton is going to play today. We're going to find that out in about 20 minutes when inactives come out. And if he's back, there's a chance that Dwayne Brown will just be a backup today and give them some depth in case Becton struggles. Or they could put Dwayne Brown at left tackle, where he's played his whole career, and move Mekhi back to right tackle. Mekhi does play, that seems unlikely to me. But just the depth that it gives them. And at a certain point, Roger Saffold is going to be ready, and that will help, you know, somewhat after losing Elijah Vera Tucker a few weeks ago for the season. They're without starting center Connor McGovern. He's not ready to come back yet, but Joe Tippen has filled in nicely. So I think their offensive line has been bad, but it's not an excuse for how bad this offense has been. It's, you know, we see other offensive lines, you know, struggle, and quarterbacks are still able to produce. It's not an excuse, but I think their offensive line, even against Buffalo, it was bad, but I think they're good enough to provide an opportunity for a guy who gets rid of the ball quickly like Tim Boyle. And it's not going to totally decimate their chances. But yeah, that's the big question today, is if Mekhi Becton can play. And if he can, I think you'll see him starting at left tackle, and Dwayne Brown will be a backup.
You know, Andy, that was my next question, because I'm looking at some props, and you wonder what Nathaniel Hackett's going to do with this offense with Boyle. Right. And it's like, if he's trying to get rid of the ball quickly, I mean, you got Dalvin Cook. Why not be imaginative and, you know, spread him out, you know, isolate him if you can in some coverage situations or an open field, as opposed to just being so predictable. So can Nathaniel Hackett, I guess, elevate Boyle's performance here, and then therefore lead to some prop situations for the players out there?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it that way. Okay. The answer is yes, but I think the best way to put it is that Boyle knows the offense well enough to make changes and adjustments at the line of scrimmage. And that's, I think, how that works. Okay. In terms of, because, you know, you haven't seen any changes.
Yeah.
You haven't seen any creativity, because I think it's built into for the quarterback to do that. And I think Boyle's in a much better position to do that than Zach Wilson was. So, that, to answer your question, yes, but not for the reasons you think. I think Tim Boyle knows what's going on. I think he's going to recognize the mismatches. And the question is going to be, is he going to be able to make an accurate throw quickly enough to the guys who are open, or notice that they're open in time to get the ball there, which has been the problem for Zach Wilson and the Jets all year. So I think there's a chance it could be better, but I would, it's hard to say bet on that because it's, yeah, I don't know. I can't tell you how Tim Boyle, who's making his fourth career start at 29, is going to look. So I would say overall, you were talking about the unders earlier. I like that. I would like that if I were a betting man.
Well, yeah, I mean, Andy is plugged in as anybody there is telling you that, hey, we're going to find out in 90 minutes whether Tim Boyle is worth a damn or not on the football field.
Well, I wish I could give you more. I'm sorry, man.
No, we're good. That's good. You gave us a lot.
Yeah. Well, Andy, before we let you go here, we got a couple minutes left. Before we let you go, I'm contractually obligated to ask you about the QB1 that they wish that they had, Aaron Rodgers. He's been talking like he could potentially come back late December. Do you think that that's realistic, or is this Rodgers just kind of trying to motivate the team with all the tea leaves that he's leaving out there on a potential return from the Achilles injury?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, did he play for the Jets at one point? I can't remember. It seems like a dream.
Yeah, it was about four snaps.
So it's still hard to believe that happened, and everything that happened 6 months before that was actually real. But yeah, it was. I would say no, it's not realistic. It doesn't seem realistic. Like, it seems, especially given the situation the Jets are in now, two games under 500 with some tough games ahead and, you know, a lot of question marks. It doesn't seem like it'll even be in play for him to come back. But then when you see him throwing out there and you see how well he's moving so quickly after the surgery, like, I'm a cynic. I don't think there's any chance they should or would put him out there, but you can't deny that it's a possibility because he has made progress unlike you've ever seen or that I've ever seen from an athlete at his age and an Achilles injury. And he does play a position where you can theoretically get away with it, right? Because it's not like you need to be explosive, but I still think it would be foolhardy. And especially given the way his career started with the Jets and especially given the Jets' luck, I wouldn't think it's a good idea. And I believe it when I see it. That's the best way I can put it. But I don't think he's going to be in a position to save the season given everything that's transpired and where the Jets are right now in the standings, either way.
Yeah, I mean, right now the market is projecting them to be 4-7 at the end of the day, and they still have at the Dolphins on deck as well as at the Cleveland Browns. He is Andy Vasquez. Check out all of his work. They're covering the New York Jets for the Star Ledger and NJ.com. Andy, we appreciate it joining us here on this game day. Good luck with all the not good luck with the bets, but I guess best of luck going forward here, and we'll obviously talk soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You guys having me on.
Thank you.
Awesome. That is Andy Vasquez of NJ.com and the Star Ledger, who's telling us, I mean, hey, we're all about to learn about Tim Boyle in about 90 minutes here.
I like how he chuckled, though, when I asked about creativity from Nathaniel Hackett. It's like, what is that?
the creativity is two words, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
that's basically why he has the job.
Basically.
We'll recap more of the Thanksgiving games as well on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The lowest prices for over 30 years. You'll always find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on a Black Friday, hanging out here with a lot of football going on, college and NFL. We got coming up a little bit later on in 90 minutes. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst here. Thank you to Andy Vasquez, who joined us in the last segment. Jets beat reporter for the Star Ledger and NJ.com, giving us the skinny on what might happen later on today here. Andy didn't seem really confident in the New York Jets hanging in this one, but he said defensively, they've shown some signs of being a really good team, but the under is what he was looking to back here in that game. Total right now is at 40. Even some 39.5s out there in the market, but okay. 40 seems to be the consensus.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the spread, what, minus 9.5 there for Miami, and you're like, okay, the Jets defense, are they going to be inspired enough to put up the effort? And if they do, they have a chance of playing inside that number. Like, are they going to score more than one touchdown? Perhaps not. Perhaps that might not.
Which is a problem.
Sure. You know, can we get four field goals from the Jets and help out the cause? Maybe. But it goes back to Hackett, and can he be creative with this personnel? And he can't. And I don't care who's playing quarterback, really. I mean, like you said, Aaron Rodgers makes a difference because Aaron Rodgers would do things that normal quarterbacks won't. But now Nathaniel Hackett, that's been an issue, right? The underlying issue, really, is that how do you help out a quarterback that's not Aaron Rodgers? And how familiar are you with these quarterbacks? Hackett isn't familiar with anybody. Look at Josh McDaniels isn't familiar with quarterbacks, right? Other than Tom Brady. And he's out the job now. But I think as bettors, understanding that relationship between play caller and quarterback is vital. Dorsey loses his job. You know, Matt Canada loses his job. I mean, it's you have to have that cohesiveness and certainly that trust between play caller and quarterback for the thing to work.
Yeah, no, 100% there. And we're about to get the actives and inactives here shortly to find out whether Mekhi Becton is able to play here for the New York Jets or if it'll be Dwayne Brown, who's starting at left tackle. They've activated him since the IR injury, put him on the shelf there for about 7-8 weeks or so. He's been out for a long time from that New York Jets offensive line. But let's continue to talk about creativity in a more positive light.
Okay.
How about last night? Kyle Shanahan and his San Francisco 49ers, they beat the Seattle Seahawks 31-13. This is one of those games where it didn't even feel like it was that close.
Right.
5 minutes in, watching the game, I was like, Niners got this. Mm-hmm. They got this. They're going to cover the number as well because they just look like the flat out better team, and they were the better team. McCaffrey had a big day, 19 carries, 114 yards, 2 touchdowns. Debo Samuel had a touchdown. He had a big day as well there. What were your takeaways from last night's game in Seattle with the Niners putting a stranglehold on the NFC West division?
Well, as one of my former teams, I mean, you know, around the family for Thanksgiving and everybody's eager to watch the game. And like you said, 5 minutes in the game, I'm like, Seattle forgot how to play football tonight. That's what it was like.
They had those action green jerseys, though.
Oh, yeah, they did.
They had those going for them.
They stood out. That was it.
Not in a good way.
No, you know, one, going into the game, I mean, it was 49ers all the way. I mean, Seattle has been sputtering offensively. Defensively, they've been yielding some points, too. And you throw in the fact that Geno, with the elbow, didn't practice. Like, is Drew Lock that horrible to where you can't go to a backup quarterback when everybody else is going to a backup quarterback right now? They don't have a running game. And certainly, you know, they're lacking explosive plays. And Geno can't even keep the ball in bounds, you know, even trying to give the receiver a chance. So this 49ers, I mean, they are revved up. You know, Kyle Shanahan and Purdy. I mean, this game is so easy for Brock Purdy right now, because of the job that Kyle's doing with scheming and then calling some timely plays. And then the guys out going out there and executing, whether it's Christian, whether it's Debo. I mean, they got an all-pro player at every position, skills positions-wise. And then you look at the front on the O-line, they got all-pro players up front too. So they were overmatched. Seattle at home, never really having a home field advantage all year long either. So, not surprised at all about the outcome.
Yeah, I mean, the outcome, I don't think, was shocking there. And I'm looking at the app to see what the MVP market is, because you mentioned Brock Purdy, the game being very easy for him. And yesterday wasn't like the greatest statistical output. He was 21 of 30, 209, one TD, one interception, which was kind of like a fluky interception. Got tipped. It was ran back for a pick six there by Jordan Brooks of the Seahawks. But Brock Purdy over at DraftKings right now, 20-1. And Dak Prescott plus 850. And these are the two guys who right now, Pritch, lead the league in QBR when you look at the statistics. Like, Purdy and Prescott are like closely together, and it's by a wide margin of them leading everybody else. But the favorite is Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts. Like, do you think that Prescott or Purdy can get home here and challenge Hurts? Because Hurts right now, his case is probably being quarterback of the team that has the best record. But beyond that, statistically, Hurts is very, very far behind Purdy and Prescott there. And even behind Patrick Mahomes, who isn't having his greatest season.
No, he's
either.
Not. Absolutely. I mean, I'm reluctant about Brock Purdy, even though he's been playing phenomenal football. The guy that I would focus on would be Christian McCaffrey.
Who's 16-1 right now.
Right, because in a year when quarterback play is down, you know, Dak Prescott, what he's doing, I mean, I take a shot there at plus 850. That's not bad. Even Jalen right now. I mean, Jalen, his schedule, I don't know if that's going to last with the schedule in front of Philly right now. But with Christian, he's setting records. He's breaking records. He's really vital to what the 49ers are doing and what they're all about offensively. I mean, in a year in which quarterback play is down, a non-quarterback position could win MVP this year. And so I would turn to a guy like Christian, who means so much. I mean, without Christian McCaffrey on that offense, I know they got Debo, but it's not going to be easy. And what I meant by easy with Brock those receivers are wide open. I mean, not a step or, you know, a half a step on a player. No, they're wide open. And a lot of that is scheme and certainly, you know, understanding tendencies and taking advantage of all that. But no, this game is really easy for the quarterback position. Christian, some of his runs as he's breaking tackles, keeping his balance, Femi, and getting the ball in the end zone. I mean, that stuff just stands out. And I think it energizes his football team as well.
100%. I mean, they had it all working with all of those playmakers that they have. And when you watch the Niners offense, like, to me, it almost looks like on the chessboard, they're playing with four queens. You know, instead of just the one queen that you have that can move everywhere, right. They have four queens that can move everywhere. Because it's like you have McCaffrey, you have Deebo Samuel, you have Ayuk, you have Kittle. Like, all these guys are interchangeable. And Chris Collinsworth did a really good job on the broadcast kind of outlining it, saying, hey, like, they could just swap Deebo and Christian McCaffrey, running back, receiver, and it's like no drop off. Like, they can just kind of like put McCaffrey at receiver, put Deebo at running back, or vice versa. Like, it all works together, which on a defense, that puts so much stress when you don't really realize what's happening and what they can do offensively.
Right. And they play off of everything too. Like, they're running the same plays. Like, it's just interchangeable. Like, we'll run 18 handoff or 19 handoff with Christian, and then we'll run 18 or 19 toss with Deebo. But it looks the same. It's still a zone inside or outside zone blocking scheme. They extend the double teams with the tight end position. They'll out-leverage you as well. They'll formation you to where it becomes easy for an offensive tackle to reach block and secure an end. I mean, it's the details of this offense, we can get into the weeds of this thing if you want to, but it is so fascinating. How it really isn't different from Mike's offense at all when they won back-to-back Super Bowls. But Kyle is just in tune with the personnel, but he's more in tune with how defenses are trying to stop them, right? Trying to defend them. And that's duty number one for an offense coordinator. How is my opponent going to try to stop me? And then what can I use from personnel, from formations, from areas on the field, and how we're executing? How can I use that to my advantage? And Kyle's on point with all that right now.
You mentioned Mike Shanahan, who the broadcast showed him quite a bit yesterday.
He did.
Watching that last night, I was like, hey, Mike's got that silver cap on now. Yeah. But I mean, like, you've talked about on the show throughout the season that you think that you see elements of his imprint still, like, within this team, that he might still have a little bit of a, not necessarily like a big say, but maybe probably advising Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely when he's coaching.
Mike is watching tape, and it wouldn't surprise me if they're watching tape together. I mean, that's something. I mean, Mike is up for the Hall of Fame, I think, because of the year, you know, especially I think that's driving Kyle, to be honest with you. You know, you have a father who's won a Super Bowl. Can you get a son to win a Super Bowl? Son's been close.
He's been close.
And then that just separates and sets apart the Shanahan family, right? The contribution to the game and all that kind of solidifies the Hall of Fame situation. But no, Mike still watches tape and he's still heavily involved in the game.
Yeah, no, you definitely see it there. This Niners team is rolling. Do you think Niners right now, their updated win total is sitting at 12.5? Do you think they're the best team? I still think they're the best team in the NFC. I get Philly's record is gaudy. And it's 9-1, and we're going to see these two teams play next week. I still would put my money on the 49ers being the best team in the NFC.
You know, fam, they're okay offensively. Defensively, they tinkered. And Wilkes is down out the booth, and maybe, you know, being on the sideline with the fellas. Give me a better defensive front right now.
There isn't one.
Right. I mean, and second level and even the back end, too. So, yeah, they're probably the most complete football team right now after tinkering with some of that personnel.
And all of Philadelphia is now going to send us hate mail. We'll get to the college football and update people on the fireworks in Lincoln, Nebraska, between Iowa and Nebraska. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's so much to be thankful for: family, friends, food, and NFL football all week long, including today, by the way. DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping your Thanksgiving week full of action. New customers can bet just $5 on the NFL to score 150 instantly in bonus bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. All you got to do is use that promo code Vegas and you are locked and loaded. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe, Mike Pritchard here hanging out at the Circa Resort.
You sure?
And casino. Yeah, okay. I'm sure we're hanging out okay. here. I'm sure it is a Black Friday. Some of us may be wearing off of the Thanksgiving, what happened yesterday. But hey, you know what? Everyone's dealing with something this time of year.
That's right.
As I like
That's
to say.
Right. Everybody's playing hurt.
Everyone's playing hurt this time of the year. But we do have the actives and inactives for the Jets and Dolphins game. That's set to kick off at noon West Coast time, 3 o'clock Eastern. The first NFL Black Friday game in history of the league.
How about
that's fun. That's fun. We get a Black Friday football game. Right now the line is Dolphins 9.5, total 40. The actives and inactives, we do have one surprise with this list here. Mekhi Becton, of course, like I don't think the expectation that he was going to play, he's inactive, but also inactive for the New York Jets is wide receiver Alan Lazard. Now, Alan Lazard signed a big contract in free agency, $44 million contract to be exact, but has struggled so far this season. 7 drops, had another one last week as well. Only 20 catches, 290 yards, and 1 touchdown. So Alan Lazard now a healthy scratch in this game here after being a free agent pickup in March.
Tells you about the level of frustration on that team too, because obviously, you know, Alan Lazard didn't present himself to be in a pro. Right now, that's why you're a healthy scratch. Now you're being made an example of for the younger players, which is a bad thing, right? But no, you always got to be a pro. Certainly, if things aren't going right, I mean, like Andy, who was on the show early, covers the Andy Vasquez, who covers the Jets. I mean, he outlined it very, very well. You score 1 touchdown in recent weeks. So everybody's frustrated, but you got to still be a pro. And so now a young player is going to have to step in, and maybe that young player had a good week of practice. Maybe Boyle has a good rapport with that young player, that said young player. So we'll find out. I don't think Nathaniel Hackett's going to be creative. I got that answered for me. so it's still more of the same with the Jets offensively. We'll just see if the execution can step up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at their depth chart right now for wide receiver. Obviously, Garrett Wilson is the chief among them of the wide receivers, really good player. But, I mean, Xavier Gibson, the rookie, who was like a hard knock star. He had the game-winning TD or a punt return touchdown in week 1 against the Bills. Jason Brownlee is one of their guys, another hard knocks guy
hard
as well.
Knocks guy,
Randall Cobb, who Aaron Rodgers brought over with him from Green Bay. Like, it's not a great receiver room after Garrett Wilson. And Lazard was supposed to be that, like, bona fide wide receiver, too. And he just has not lived up to those expectations. Like, he's been bad.
Yeah, my eyes are on Brownlee, though, because he does have the size. And, you know, we did see in preseason making some highlight plays.
Training camp, he was an all-star.
Sure. So maybe he's been working his tail off and impressing people, and now he's going to get an opportunity. I think him more so than anybody else. I mean, Gibson is more of a slot guy, gadget guy, but you can put Wilson in that situation. And I think you want to get away from Jalen Ramsey at this point because that guy's been playing phenomenal football. But Ramsey goes into the slot too, you know? So trying to find those matchups on the other side against this Dolphins defense is going to be interesting. But I think Brownlee gives them some athleticism and some playmaking ability from a young player, though.
Yeah, no, Brownlee, maybe that's an anytime TD score. Maybe a little risky play. The Jets have scored 9 offensive touchdowns all season.
Right.
So I guess any sort of anytime TD for them is like, it's almost like a damn miracle. But
Brownlee could be a lot. Is involved in this game plan now. It has to be. Even though it's Nathaniel Hackett, I think the kitchen sink has to be involved in this game plan.
Plus 950 is what our producer Elliot Bowman is telling us right now for Jason Brownlee. Anytime TD score. Maybe that's a bets giving bet. Potentially.
Maybe.
Some of us have to climb out of a hole after yesterday's action in bets giving. So maybe during the break, I'll sprinkle a little bit of a Jason Brownlee here for anytime touchdown. But we do it. Obviously, NFL's going on. We'll get into that more in the second hour with obviously the Sunday slate. But we do have college football happening right now as well. And the game that I find most fascinating, Pritch, and I'm hoping to see if you agree with me, is obviously Iowa and Nebraska.
Yes.
Iowa and Nebraska. Like
1,000%.
The total for the ages. This opened 28. It closed 25.5. There were even some 25s in the market. But at halftime, Pritch, You got 17 points on the board. we're pacing ahead of schedule. Live total right now, 29.5. So the live market expectation is that we're going to go over the closing number here. And this is definitely a points at a premium sort of situation to where a lot of people like Nebraska, given that Iowa doesn't have much to play for. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska obviously is playing for bowl eligibility.
Right, right. And wondering why everybody's going to that game in Lincoln.
Yeah.
Then I was thinking back when my trips to Lincoln, there's not a lot going on in Lincoln. but there should be 24 points in this game.
Mm.
A speed out off a corner blitz. He had leverage to the sideline. Perfect throw. Leverage against the safety. He was inside position, right?
Yep.
That's Nebraska for you. We're going to call a corner fire to the short from the short side of the field. And Iowa has the perfect play call. Speed out against an inside position safety. And the receiver dropped it. That should have been a touchdown. So we should have, 24 points in that first half. So I was able to move the ball. I have no idea what Nebraska is doing defensively, what they're trying to do to stop the high-powered offense from Iowa, though. Like, how do you order a corner fire in a red zone like that?
It was wide open. It's a ball that's like, you got to catch that. Oh. But the receivers, I mean, I don't know if he panicked or what happened there.
Bad hands.
Should be 17-7.
Yeah, bad hands. You want to know why Iowa's bad offensively? Receivers trying to catch the ball behind his eyes and a touchdown. I mean, that's coaching. Like, these kids are developing. Make sure that those kids are putting those hands in front of their eyes and plucking it out there.
As we say, the fundamentals is lacking.
Yeah.
Out there for Iowa football. Offensively, defensively, they've been awesome this year. Mm-hmm. Always coming up with all these big plays and stuff like that. And I said, Iowa, they have nothing to play for in this game. Obviously, next week, they'll play for the Big Ten title against either Michigan or Ohio State, whoever wins the game tomorrow afternoon there. But Iowa... It's just funny to say out loud. They're playing for the Big Ten title next week. What are we doing with that? Like, come on.
Big Ten.
They're going to be catching like 28 points or something like that. I mean, geez. And the total is going to be 45 with that game. But we do have a fun game, though, coming up later on this evening between Oregon State and Oregon in Eugene. The Ducks right now, 14-point favorites. Total sitting at 62. Obviously, the Bo Nix Heisman is at play here. Oregon to go to the Pac-12 title game next week here in Vegas is at play. And also, Oregon's still in the mix for the college football playoff as well. So a lot on the line for the Ducks here in Oregon State trying to play spoiler.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rivalry situation, but not quite Oregon-Washington.
Yeah.
I forgot what they call this game.
They used to call it the Civil War. I think they've tried to come up with a new name. I don't know what that new name is.
Yeah, because was it... Bedlam between Washington. No, it's not Bedlam.
Bedlam is Oklahoma State. Yeah. Oklahoma.
I thought Civil War was Washington and Oregon.
No, it was always
this one.
Okay. Yeah, it's Oregon State, Oregon.
All right.
But they came up with a new, I don't know what the new name is. I think they're just calling it the rivalry.
Okay. But anyway, you know, Bo Nix, Heisman Trophy, I think he'll be in New York. I think he'll be a finalist. But he is aided by those receivers. I mean, Bo throws, I mean, his air yards, and I don't measure all that stuff, but just watching the game, just getting rid of football to speedy wide receivers and let those guys do the work. And they can house any play. The run after the catch is phenomenal with them. They can also run it. I know that Oregon State is challenged defending the pass. You know, I think against Washington, the weather had something to play or, you know, had something to do with that game a little bit. But Washington still prevailed. But can Oregon play this, Oregon State play this conservative nature on offense, wanting to run the ball and still feel like they can stay in this game against Oregon? Like, I think they're out of their element trying to go up against this high-powered football team.
That's kind of how I feel about this game as well, to where, like, DJ Uiagalelei, who's played better this year than what we'd seen at Clemson,
right,
but still misses some throws. I don't know if he is capable of keeping up in this kind of a game. Like, this to me feels like close first half, Oregon pulls away second half. And maybe that's obviously projecting the line right now, sitting at 14, 13.5 at DraftKings. So if you like Oregon, DraftKings is your official sports book to bet the Oregon Ducks. Mm-hmm. But it, to me, it feels like Oregon kind of pulls away in the second half. I'll put this out there, Pritch.
Okay.
Oregon State, though, they have not won in Eugene since 2007. So they got that going for them. The last three times Oregon State has won in this rivalry, it's all been in Corvallis. They won last year. So a little bit of like a revenge game here for Oregon right now, as Dan Lanning has yet to beat any of his rivals. Like, he hasn't beaten Washington so far in 2 years, and he lost to Oregon State last year. So this is like a sneaky big game here for Dan Lanning as a head coach.
Well, it is, because, you know, you got boosters chirping. You got friends of the program chirping, you know, and okay, this is an important game for us, right? And certainly for Oregon, it's highly important. They want to get to the playoff.
100%. It's like you, if you want to be the big name coach, and obviously Dan Lanning has been a really good coach so far this year, but you got to beat your rivals. He's yet to do that, but he has a chance. If they win today, maybe he can go ahead and avenge the loss to Washington as well from earlier this season. All right, we'll get back to the NFL on the other side as we begin hour number two of the Lombardi Line.